Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Charmaine Show. This is the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio for you early on this beautiful morning. I'm very excited to have my guest on the show today. My guest this morning hails straight from Jamaica, and it's really exciting to be talking to someone that is in Jamaica because I know it's not as cold as it is here. So once again, I just want to say welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. My special guest this morning is none other than author and poetess Denise Feit. And I'm really excited to talk to Denise this morning about a topic that is so taboo. And her new book that is co-authored by Michael Reginald from New York is out. It is called Sudden Death. But before we jump into, and I know Denise is ready and ready to go in our studio this morning, but let me just tell our listeners a little bit about you. Denise, you have a bachelor's degree and further degree in education.
Yes, ma'am.
You worked as an IT position and also as a teacher and trainer. Presently,
yes,
Denise is a program coordinator at Jamaican University, and your career has extended to such incredible companies, InfoServe, Institute of Technology, Pearson University, University College of the Caribbean, and I think this seems like your favorite thing to do in the whole world because you are a freelance writer, and you work with thousands of clients producing hundreds of online articles, creating content, ebook material, and you are a phenomenal poet. There is so much more to you because you have a myriad of talents, obviously, and with a deep need and a deep passion for writing, you have taken on the subject that we're going to talk about today, which is depression and suicide. So welcome, Denise, to our show this morning.
Thank you, Charmaine. I'm so happy to be here to talk about this issue. It's a very important issue.
Absolutely. Every time I hear that beautiful Jamaican accent, I just smile. So throughout the whole show, I will be smiling. Anyway, tell us before we jump into the subject, because it's a mouthful and a lot to talk about, how is the weather there? Just so I can feel good.
It's nice and warm, and outside is hot and well and toasty, and it's nowhere near being cold.
Yes,
it's
I
just
know.
Lovely here.
Absolutely. I woke up this morning to 26 degrees, but I am one to never complain about the weather, so I really enjoy whether it's hot or cold because
yes,
one of my favorite things to do is scooting off to the spa. So after we've wrapped the show, it's a trip to the spa for me. So I'll be nice
They're
and
all, we need to switch places.
I know. Well,
yes,
before we
even
get
for an
away,
hour.
I know, right? Let's jump right into it. So tell our listeners and tell me what made you decide to write about this issue.
Okay, well, I started writing in general maybe about 10 years ago, and I started writing at this level because I was actually going through depression myself, and it was very cathartic to just put my emotions and the stuff that I was going through on paper. What I decided to do was to write poetry and to get all of that frustration and turmoil out. I decided that one day I wanted to write a book on it, but I let it go, and I tried to do it maybe about 2010, but the emotions and the pain were still raw than trying to recount the experience. So, you know, I put it down, and I say, God, you know, when? This year, or more so last year, rather, I wanted to start writing novels. And I've always done short stories and stuff, but my main focus was the article writing. And I said, Lord, I wanted to tell stories. And he gave me the story. The first story in the book was Anna's story, that of the nun. I got it full, everything. And I wrote it out, and I said, Lord, you know, what is this all about? And then he gave me the other stories, and I'm like, this has to do with depression and suicide. And one of the stories, you know, everywhere in there is a bit of my story as well, and stories of persons that I've talked to, and mainly stories that God has shown me of people's lives, because he's like that. You know, he taps into our gifts and he shows us what other people are going through, and so that we can write and that they can relate. And I decided to do that. It was very rough, Charmaine. I'm not going to say it was easy, because, you know, for persons who are Christian, you know, when you're trying to get God's message out there, you come under attack. And
right.
I came under demonic attack. And my partner and I, my writing partner, Michael Reginald, we had to pray and seek God for this. And, you know, I had to keep steadfast and in the material and making sure. Now, even though I wrote the stories, you know, God wasn't done with it and saying that this is just stories. Even though I wrote the section talking about in general depression and suicide and relating, you know, the general information and talking about psychology, he said, no, you have to now share my information. And so I approached Michael and I said, Michael, we have to do a spiritual analysis so that persons understand that it's not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual. Right, and it's more so in the spiritual where we are attacked, and they need to understand the source and how to break this down. So apart from doing sudden death with the stories and the psychological perspective on it, we did sudden death loosening foundations so that persons could now understand and break the foundation or break the curse which is on them, which is depression and suicide.
Right. So... well, that definitely, you talk about how you guys kind of came together and what inspired the book. So tell me a little bit, because I know in your blogs you talk about how you wanted to paint a clear picture of the realities that many of us face in this world. What seems to be the reality that, and I know you are in Jamaica, what is the reality of depression and suicide in Jamaica? What are some of the statistics that we're facing?
Unlike where the statistics are available in the States and everywhere else in the world, there are no studies done in Jamaica. When I was writing this book, I had to hit search sites, I had to hit the newspapers just to try to find some information about what is happening in Jamaica. And yes, it is minimal, and the largest statistic of those who commit suicide are men. I think last year we might have gotten about 150 thereabout persons who committed suicide, right? But and this is such a taboo issue. People don't talk about it. They don't share it openly. It's not something that is discussed openly. I know last year there was a campaign on the radios about suicide, but you won't see somebody coming up to you and relaying their information. And if so, some persons don't really recognize that they're even going through depression, because they just think it, oh, this person is very sad. But when you've gone through depression, believe me, having been somebody who has dealt with it, you'd be in your bed at night and you just feel this sense of loneliness and deep sadness to your core, right? And you're like, oh my God, I can't live with this. For those persons who commit suicide, let me tell you, they're in a mind frame where they just feel that they're in a desolate world and nobody will help them. They'll come to you and they'll smile normally. You'll think they're fine. You know, they'll go about their activities normally. But in their mind and in their heart, they're in deep turmoil. Now, the issue of, for example, cutting, people wonder, how can somebody cut? How can, you know, somebody do something to themselves or kill themselves? Now, for persons who cut, and I have been there and came under that spirit, right? You feel it as if it's this intense craving. Just as how you might crave a piece of cake or ice cream, that is exactly how it is. And the mindset of that person is what they're trying to do is that they're trying to just temporarily get some physical pain to block out the psychological trauma, the pain that they're going through, right? And it is real pain, and you feel it. You feel it not only in your entire body, but you feel it in your heart. You ever hear the talk about, oh, you break somebody's heart? You feel it in your heart, and it depends on the situation that you have been through. So there isn't any real study that has been done in Jamaica, but we have to go through the stories and, you know, go through the newspaper articles when they relate that, oh, people see that this person was, you know, might have been depressed, or even if they leave a letter. But we need to get to the place where we do a study in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And globally, when I'm talking globally now about the statistics, more than 20 people each year attempt suicide globally. And that is too much. That is too much. Not even one person should seek to end their own life.
Absolutely. You talk about, very interesting, because I'm so taken in with this. Last year was a very profound year for me, 2015. One of the main reasons was that I prayed towards the very end of 2014 that God will arouse all of my emotions and that I would bring to life just being able to feel things and wanting to feel. And I was around people, but I was not being a part of what everyone else goes through, because it's so easy to sit back and feel like, well, I'm okay, so everybody else must be okay. And when you meet someone who is not okay, or who goes through patches or dark places from time to time, or when you have a girlfriend who lost her husband to suicide, or when the teenager at the very same high school took their own life at school, and, you know, it's like, what's going on? But it's not a shock. It's like, wow, Charmaine, these things are going on. And this, you know, I'm married, I have children, and I have friends. And I'm thinking, this could be so much more closer to me. So I decided to really embrace this, and it was a great thing that we really connected, because I wanted to talk about this. And then you talked about men. And in Jamaica, even statistically, here in the United States and even around the world, men are the ones that tend to commit more suicides. Even when you watch the movies,
because they don't talk about it.
They don't talk about
it.
Why
talk about
you
it. The women.
Yes.
It's our culture. It's our culture, and more so for even more so for Jamaican men, they are socialized to be tough and to keep their emotions inside, right? Globally, you know, men are taught, you know, you're not supposed to cry. Women are the ones who talk and who cry, and it's emotional, and and showing any emotion of that sort is seen as them being weak. Right? But when you have something like this, a burden, a death of a loved one or a death of a child, right? A broken heart, a broken relationship, losing a job, and not for men, you know, when it comes to the burden of their family, to protecting their family, to providing from their family, and they can't do that, it makes them feel less. And so, you know, they are taught that, look here, you're not supposed to talk and you're not supposed to cry and you're not supposed to be emotional. And so the issue, they are plagued by this demon, really. I'll get into the spiritual aspect of it. They are plagued by this demon. And when depression comes, so too the spirit of death. When the spirit of death comes, you have the suicide and the loneliness and all of that. And you feel like you can't talk about it. And so they, at the end of the day, when it gets too much, they fall under that pressure and they commit suicide. A lot of them, they'll tell you that if a household has a gun, more than likely, if that person is depressed, they're going to go to the gun. And they're going to use the gun to commit suicide, right? So that is why a lot of the cases of persons committing suicide are with guns. But our men, they need the support, and we need to have a culture and a society that says, look here, if you're dealing with this issue, you need to talk about it. You need to talk to your wife, your spouse, your partner, your pastor,
and
somebody.
Or get professional help. Some people try to deal with this year over year over year over year, and it becomes their normal, because they figure, okay, this happens to me 4, 5, 6 times a year for 2, 3 months at a time, et cetera, and it's okay. That just seems to me to be a cycle of an unhappy life. If you spend most of your time going in and out of deep, dark places, and not
let
everybody
me tell you, Charmaine,
is going to... Yes. Go ahead, honey.
I'm stepping back, and sometimes I don't like to step back into this place because, as you say, it's a dark place. When you have depression and it first hits you, you come under an onslaught of an attack. So it's like, you know, it's like you're in an avalanche and you deal with that. Now, the trick is that, all right, you think you've gotten over it and you think you've moved on. And then all of a sudden, sometime 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line, in the stillness, something happens and it triggers it. And you're like, oh, my God, I thought I was over this. And that is the same thing that happened to me for years, because a year would go by and I'm fine, right? And something happens and it just triggers all of that emotion to come. Now, on the spiritual side, this demon is playing hide and seek really with you, right? To let you, to break you down. Right, and especially if you don't at that time, I was not close to home, and I was living in a different city, and so I didn't have my friends, and you know I was dealing with my health. I became a diabetic at that time, and I was dealing with stresses at work, and I didn't have any friends. Right, I didn't have the support of my church where I was, and all of that came on me, and I'm like, oh my God. Right. And at the time now when I came back and I was close to family and friends, I thought it was done with. But one night, let me tell you, when it came back on, and the good thing is my sister sensed that something was wrong and she called me. And, you know, we talked it out. But it's not until I was able to step back in God fully. So even though I was a Christian, there were aspects of my life which were hidden or away from him. And that is what happens. When we have aspects of our lives which are not under the full control of the Holy Spirit, then a demon will try to take possession of that or use that against us. And I'm okay now. And I thank God that I'm at a place that I can talk about it and it can be an encouragement to somebody else.
I think that's the beauty about it, is that when you have the experience and you've been there, you're able to share not just your story of being there, but how real it is. Like you said, every now and then all of us get a little bit, everybody, because, you know, we flow with nature. So there's going to be ebbs and flows from time to time in our lives. We get a little bit down one day, something happened at work, or you lost a loved one, or, you know, you lost a loved one, or you gained some weight, you know. So there are different
even for
things that
suffering abuse.
To feel a little bit down. But depression is such a disease and a huge issue that I feel like we don't talk about simply because many of us don't understand it. Those of us who are going through the dealing with loved ones and those that are going through depression, in some way it seems like neither parties quite understand how to deal with it. So do you feel like, or in your experience, do you believe that, you know, when you are going through depression, is it that you wanted someone to help or you didn't know that you wanted someone to help? Were you distant by choice, or is it as a result of this is one of the things that comes along with the disease?
At the time when, I suffered three things that year. The loss of a close friend, many people don't know this other part, the loss of a child, and the loss of a relationship. Three major things that year.
In the same year.
I was also in school in the same year. I was actually doing my degree, and we were studying, Charmaine, we were studying depression at the time. And I found it's so ironic that the same time that I got it, at the same time I was studying it, and I had persons who I could talk to it got so bad where, you know, I wasn't sleeping. That's where all that writing came in, because I'll try to sleep and maybe sleep for an hour, and then I'm up all night, and I start writing a lot. But I was also on medication to try to get me to sleep, because what happens is your adrenaline is pumping so much that you're so alert, and you have no desire to sleep. But having adrenaline pumping in your body for so long is not good, because it wears on your organs, and it wears on your body, and you're anxious all the time, right? And you're, you know, females, you're crying all the time and all of these things. And I even had to take a break from work because I just could not function. It also tore down me as a person, because I've always considered myself, you know, this strong black woman and, you know, this alpha female. I can support myself. I don't really need anybody to support me. I'm good, right? It tears all of that down. That curtain that is up, it rips that down. And so even though I was on the medication, I had to come off the medication because those medications have side effects. When you read, you understand that some of these medications actually make you more suicidal. They make you more prone to rage, and that's what started to happen with me. And I already had temper issues, so I was like, look here, I'm off these pills. I did that. Persons aren't supposed to actually do that, but I came off immediately because of the effects it was having onto me. And I had to just go to God, and I'm like, God, I'm in such a state. So even though I'm talking to persons and saying, hey, my friends, my very close friends, and I said, I'm dealing with this issue, and they're talking to me, but there were deeper issues. It was already so ingrained that I really, really, really had to say, God, no man can help me with this issue but you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, prayer and seeking him and trying to make my life right, and it was a process for me. Right, it was a really long process for me, because over the years, you know, the company that I was working with, they closed, they left Jamaica, they went, so I was without a job for 2 years. So that really even triggered me again, and I had to say, Lord, I thought I dealt with this issue, but he started to show me some stuff and say, no, there are some things that you need to strip off spiritually so that this demon does not have the authority to come back on you. While I'm on that topic, a lot of people who deal with depression are suffering from a demon that has the right for generational curses. Now, generational curses can come at you in different forms. You might have a spirit of lying that comes through the family line. For example, let's look at Jacob and Laban, and at that time, even Abram. Remember, Abram lied about Sarah being his wife. His son also lied about his wife. And then you come down now to Jacob, who lied to Laban, or Laban rather lied to Jacob, and then Jacob lied to him about the flock, right, so that his wealth could grow. They actually had a generational curse in their family line. Look at David's situation. Because David sinned and slept with another man's wife, right, he brought on a curse onto his family. He brought on a spirit of death for the penalty of killing another man. And that is why he was plagued like that. If you look at his daughter was raped and abused, his son tried to kill him. So that is a generational curse.
Absolutely.
Some families have those generational curses.
I actually was just going to segue into that in modern day lifetimes and families. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about that. Because it is so true and so key that we can look at families and we can see that, okay, one person may be successful or doing okay or whatever, maybe on the outside, but there is a lot of emotional turmoil. And then looking at the family line, the family tree and all that, I find that if it's a bunch of drama, it's going to be the whole family. If it's success, it tends to be the majority of the family, you know, so you can really see those, like you said, generational aspects of it. And a lot of things stem from the result of our choice. I always believe in choice and personal responsibility. And I know we're talking about depression. How do you feel, though, or believe that the choices that we make, and the fact that we either take or do not take personal responsibility, how do you feel like that affects our mental state when it comes to dealing with depression?
Well, the issue of choice, let's look at it biblically. When we commit a sin, that is on us. Nobody else but us will take the responsibility. And those of us who are Christians and are filled with the Spirit, or even if you have a strong conscience, which is the voice of God telling you that, hey, don't do this, don't do that, it is a consequence. Sin comes with consequence. And even at the beginning of time, dealing with Adam and Eve, sin came with a consequence. They could not stay in the garden. So when we make a decision, there is a consequence. In the physical world, you have to understand that as Christians, we need to know that there's a physical world and there's a spiritual world. When we have this conversation about beyond the veil, you're talking about the spiritual world. And a lot of people do not acknowledge that world, but remember the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against princes and principalities and rulers of darkness and all of these things.
And so
we have to understand.
Yeah, no, let me, I am looking at the time, and we have 4 minutes, and I'm feeling like we just started. Yes, so I have to have you back on. I know you have written so much about so many different topics, and this is a huge one that I know we're going to continue the conversation around. So as we wrap up, because we talk about the physical aspect of depression and the spiritual aspect of it, the mental aspect of it. How do you think, though, that we in our homes, because I believe that's where it all starts, how can we provide support, or how do we give us some tips on how to deal with someone that may be going through that dark place?
Going through depression. We need to be sensitive. One, when a person is depressed, especially, for example, females, we have a woman's intuition. So, for example, if our men are cheating, sometimes we know. But if you have a spouse that you really love and you're connected to and something is off, we know. If you observe that your child usually does some things and no longer do those things, if a person is withdrawing, if they're not talking, if they're being reclusive, then we need to reach out to that person. Always be supportive. Always show love. Always be open and say, hey, I'm here to support you. You can talk to me about anything. And when somebody has gone through a trauma, don't leave it at that. Support them, because in the mind is where the devil fights us, the mental space. And that is where most of us will fall. Because physically, you know, we can stand up and show that we're strong, but in the mental space is where he will wreak havoc. And as such, we need to offer love, support. If a person also needs to have therapy, you make that available, because sometimes an individual won't be open to talking to a family member. They want to talk to somebody who is not in their home space and who they feel might not judge them. I also recommend praying and touching and getting in tune with God, forming that relationship, because the Holy Spirit is what keeps us and helps us to abide. And so we ought to form that relationship with God. Love, support, prayer, getting a relationship with God. If the person needs to get medical help from a psychologist or a psychiatrist, get them the help. Do not stop. If somebody says to you, hey, I'm thinking about committing suicide, that is them trying to reach out to you. Do not take it lightly. Even if they say it as a joke, do not take it lightly. It's like you see a man with a knife, and he's looking at that knife for long, and he ain't going to be cutting up no meat or no chicken. You're asking, what is he thinking about when he's looking at that knife, right? So we have to be proactive.
Very, very good stuff. Very good conversation. I'm glad we are opening up. I know one of my goals for the show, the 2016 season, is to deal with those raw and real issues that we face. And I'm really glad for all of my experiences to be able to bring some of these things to life, whether it's from around me or personal experiences. But I just want to say thank you so much, Denise, for being a guest on the show today. Again, Denise Fife, Jamaican
yes.
author, and her book is Sudden Death, Dealing with Depression and Suicide. It has been such
and it's available on Amazon.
And it's on
it's
Amazon.
It's available on Amazon, Smashwords, and Lulu.com. You can get the ebook, or you can get the paperback. It's all out there. You can get it. It's Sudden Death with the stories and a psychological perspective, and also Sudden Death, Loosening Foundations, which goes in-depth into the spiritual analysis of the situation. And you can go on my website, you know, denisenfife@wordpress.com, or Revealing the Christian Life. Right, we have the information there as well. Or they can email me at poetessdefy@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Denise.
Bless you.
Hey, how are you?